Good evening. This is Chris, K90Q, and I'm located in Escondido, California. And this is the Balkan Society Amateur Radio Fusion Radio Net. This net operates on the Minnesota-Wisconsin room, number 21493, and also on YSF reflector 21493. It's held weekly at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, or 0030 UTC, during while everybody's in the daylight time. Net control stations tonight. We have Shane in 0PXT. We have Otis W4IOD, and Steve in 0YQ. The Bakken Amateur Radio Society takes its name from Earl Bakken, who was the founder of Medtronic, and Earl was always interested in radio. And he's a founding sponsor of the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting, which if you're in Minneapolis, you've got to stop by and see. And Earl allows us to use his name because he's a strong supporter of learning, experimentation, and helping others. And you can learn more about BARS and Earl at w0mdt.com. We've got a chat window. That's at hamoperator.com. Just select MinWiz. And then MinWiz chat, and I just realized I have not enabled that. So if you'll just give me a second here, that will get enabled. It's like you have to be able to walk and chew gum when you're net control. Just give me a second here. I have to navigate through a few menus here on the hamoperator.com. Control panel, and as of now, that should be active. And back to the script. Okay, we got the chat window. Net procedure. Check-ins work like this. Net control will ask check-ins. For check-ins, this is a directed net. Please respond with your name, city, and state. And net control will take your information, and we will get back to you. So, you can get a hold of us at MinWiz chat room. We also look at the WiresX online dashboard. And we do take the old-fashioned people calling in on the radio. And there we go. So, I'm just catching up with, yep, chat is down. It's up. Okay. I guess we're ready to go. So, any traffic for the net? This is K92.
W4IOD, Otis, stamping around Kentucky.
Okay, Otis. I realize I didn't do net announcements, but we'll get to that. Anyway, Otis in beautiful stamping ground Kentucky, please go ahead. You have the floor.
Well, thank you, Chris, and good evening to you and everyone else on the net from a very nice stamping ground. 73 degrees this evening and overcast skies. Thunderstorms have moved on. And this falls under the announcement. Just a reminder that this upcoming Wednesday, August 11th, at 2:20 p.m. Eastern, FEMA and the FCC are going to conduct that nationwide emergency alert test. So you'll have text messages sent out to cell phones, TVs, radios, what have you. If you've opted in to receive the test messages, you should be able to get those. And they're the attention signal on the TV. Sorry, but I find this humorous. They say it's going to last about 5 minutes. So at that point, you're going to lose your TV programming if you're watching TV. But I think that's what the FCC and the FEMA folks are up to this week. And that's pretty much all I have. Just wanted to make everyone aware of that Wednesday at 2:20 Eastern time. appreciate you picking the net up, Chris. Chuck is still out off the grid. And with that said, I'll turn it back to Net Control, W4IOD, back to Net Control.
Okay, thank you, Woody. I appreciate that. And we're going to have to pass the hat and get Chuck like a hotspot or something so he can check in when he's out of town. But he probably has more important things to be doing. And I do have a net, or an announcement for the net, and that is the next Hams in the Park is occurring this Saturday, August 14th. For those in Minnesota that will be attending the event there in the Northern Metro area, this one will be at a different place. It will be at Turtle Lake County Park. Information is at hamoperator.com. You can just go to the calendar and click on it. Click on the entry there, and the information will pop up. And a nice pretty picture of some radio equipment, I guess. And that's Hams in the Park coming up this Saturday. If you can't attend, yes, I did say Turtle Lake. Other people can do Hams in the Park as well. Oh, it's at Swinging Bridge Park. Oh, typo. Steve, give us the information. I apparently have old information.
Well, let's pull it up here. NZOIQ. Give me one sec.
Okay, while he's doing that, I guess I'll continue to say that other people can do this too. It is kind of a cool idea. You know, you don't have to be a member of any particular club. It's just, you know, just a bunch of hams getting together in a nice out of doors and setting up some equipment. It's an excuse. You know, it's like a field day for a few hours every month. And perhaps if others do that, and it's around the same time, it might be possible to hook up here on Minwas. So bring along a Fusion radio, and maybe we'll do some park-to-park HF contacts. Steve, are you back?
NZYQ, back to Net Control.
Okay, I'm not sure what happened here. Steve, did you have the information on Swing Bridge Park? Yeah, that was a little double.
All right, let's see if I got it this time. Chris, do you have a copy on me?
Yeah, you're doing just fine.
Okay, sounds good. Yep, we have a schedule conflict up on the north side, so we're moving it down to the south side of the Twin Cities. So this Saturday's Hams in the Park will be at Rock Island Swing Bridge. So it's Rock Island Swing Bridge. The address is 4465 4465 66th Street East, Invergrove Heights. So if you just Google Swing Bridge or Rock Island Swing Bridge, Invergrove Heights, you will get the information. Saturday at noon, hope to see you there. Back to Net Control, NZOIQ.
Okay, well, thank you, Steve. For bringing that in. I was not aware of that change. I will update the information on Ham Operator. I know August is different, and I thought it was the same park as last year, but it's not. But hey, that's cool. Give some folks on the south end of the Twin Cities the chance to meet up. Very good. So I think that's all the announcements that's fit to broadcast. Anyway, any check-ins for the net with questions or comments? Go now.
K6GEL, Springville, California. Gary.
Okay, we have Gary in Springville, California, who's 226 miles north-northwest of me. And Gary, go ahead with your traffic.
No traffic. I'm just starting to get into digital. Kind of a newbie. Talking to you on FTM 300G. Back to you.
Okay, very good, Gary. and I'm just, yeah, okay, so this is N6 SMU repeaters in Bakersfield, so welcome. Glad to have you along. This is the Fusion Technical Net, and we answer questions, technical questions, discuss technical things, and you're welcome to check in again. It's 5:30 Pacific, Monday nights, and 21493, so you were able to discover that, so that's good. Anybody else with traffic for the net, any questions, problems with the radios? There's got to be a few. Okay, 7REA, Ken, Coos Bay, Oregon. Okay, K7REA, getting some West Coast check-ins, which is good. Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. 2-3 weeks ago, there was a gentleman on there from the Texas area where they'd gotten some beta software for their IMRS board on the DR2. And I'd like to be able to communicate with that gentleman if he's out there listening. K7REA, back to you.
Okay, I think you're talking about Felix. And Felix or Don is in the chat room. Why don't I have a chat room? Hang on a second here. I told everybody about the chat room, except I didn't go to the chat room. Okay, I'm not seeing it. Don, or Felix, somebody down there in Texas have information on the IMRS beta firmware? I don't believe there has been a published update to it, but anybody know?
It's KG5AWL.
Yeah, go ahead, Felix. Did you hear the question?
Yes, KG5AWL. Name here is Felix. I'm located here in Axtell, Texas, just outside of Waco. Yeah, if you want to send me an email, it's my call, KG5AWL at gmail.com. Just send me an email, and we'll try to get it to you. We have been running the beta, and it seems to work well. We have a lot of internet outages because most of our internet is wireless, and so it's prone to storms and stuff like that. So, we've been testing it, and seems to work quite well. We've tried it on two different clusters, IMRS clusters. That are totally separate of each other, and seems to work well on both of them. So, again, the email is kg5awl at gmail, and just send me an email, and we'll get you the information as you need to do it. It's not hard to do the firmware update. They have a little utility that will install it fairly easy, quickly. You don't even have to open up the repeater. There's a little switch in the back of the repeater you can flip to do the firmware update. So anyway, I am the person you might want to talk to. Yezu gave it to me and said if somebody needs it and needs to use it, then feel free. So anyway, there you go. This is KG5AWL. Back to net.
Okay, very good. Felix, thank you for being there and taking care of that. That's an outstanding answer. Ken, anything else?
No, I just want to say thank you to Felix. He's reading my mind. I've been waiting for something to happen through Yaesu, and it hasn't, and I want to get this problem taken care of. I'm getting tired of this one machine giving me problems all the time. The only big problem about putting it in, it's a 4.5-hour drive from here. Okay, expect an email from me there, Felix. Appreciate it a lot. You have a great evening. K7REA, back to net.
Okay, thanks, Ken. Yeah, too bad they don't do over-the-air updates. That would be something. Take a long time, I'll tell you. Well, but it must, a 4.5-hour drive, it must be in a very nice location. And probably some beautiful scenery up there, I would guess. Hey, take some pictures or let us know what the repeater site looks like. Anyway, that's the end of the list. Anybody else? Questions, comments, observations for the net? K9EQ. Well, I'll pass along a little information from this end, not directly pertaining to Fusion. And that is, I've been doing some, we do have a check-in. Okay, I didn't hear that. K3SZT, go ahead with your traffic. Sorry, I didn't hear you. K9EQ.
K3FZT. MEQ. K3FZT, Steve, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So I've decided I need to get my own connection to Wires X because the two repeaters available to me keep being taken offline for other people's personal use. So I have an FTM 300D coming to me, and I currently have an FTM 100 in my vehicle. I'm curious as to your and anyone else's on that recommendation as to which one I should use as a node radio and which one I should put in the vehicle. All opinions and reasons appreciated. This is K3FZT.
Okay, well that's a pretty easy one. And that is, you'd want to use the FTM 100 for the node radio. There are a number of reasons for that. The 100 is probably on the performance or on the capability end is quite a bit less than the FTM 300. So the FTM 300 is a higher valued radio, and when the radio is being used as a node, it is dumb as a bag of rocks. It basically it doesn't matter what features it has. None of them get used. It just transmits and receives. So the FTM 100 is has been used very extensively for nodes. I would have to say probably maybe the majority of people running RF links and nodes are probably using that radio. So I think that's a good one to use. I will caution, however, that it is none of the radios are designed to sit there and run at full power output on what can be continuous transmission. You know, you put the node on some busy room or something like that, and it can start transmitting for very long periods of key down. And the repeaters that can, of course, do that, there's the heat sinking is probably about five times what the radio normally comes with, plus it has two fans, one blowing and one pulling on it. So my recommendation is to run at the 5-watt level. I guess some people get along with the 20-watt, but I would prefer to run it at 5, and I do know that that radio will run all day long at 5 watts without an issue. So anyway, Steve, does that help you out?
It does. Thanks very much. I had pretty much concluded the same thing, although I must say I'm going to miss the mile per hour readout on the screen of the STM-100. Small give for bigger get. Thank you, K3FCT.
Okay, and then Shane in 0PXD mentions that he runs 20 watts. Yaesu sells a fan stand, and it really is just something to hold the radio and stick a fan underneath it and blow air on it. And that's he seems to do okay with that. So that's, you know, that's a data point. One of the problems with the radios is not just the heat sink temperature that, on the outside of the radio, but to cool some of the internal parts. And fortunately, the FTM-100 does have some facility to improve on that versus some of the older radios. Just for people to keep that in mind. Otis missed the feedback from Felix, basically, Otis, Felix said that Yaesu has said it's okay for him to distribute the code, the beta code that he's running, so send an email to Felix, kg5awl@gmail.com, and Felix will take care of you. Otis is on a repeater where somebody decided to disconnect it and go off and talk to somebody else and missed out on that. Very good, Steve. Well, good luck with the node. It is nice having them, I got to say. Great HD coverage around the house. Any other questions or comments for the net, please call K9EQ.
Victor Alpha 3, Tangle Golf, November, Portable, Windsor, Ontario. And you know, just want to say hello to everybody on frequency. And have a very good night there. 73 to all. And I have no traffic there. I'm located at Forest Lake, Windsor, Ontario, there.
Okay, well, that raises our country count to two. Very good day to you, Timmy. And I hope things are going well up there. And by the way, in case you don't know it, up in Canada, they've got some really nice nets up there. There is a, go check out the hamoperator.com calendar. And they have a nice network up there as well, well, several of them. And you can pick French or English. But some really great activity in Canada. And a lot of it, there's a lot of it in the Toronto area if you have to be in that area. Traffic for the net. Give us a call, K9EQ. Okay, KN4RF, Sean, says 100 definitely gets hot, even on 5 watts. And I'll tell you what I would do with a, you know, for a node is probably, and this is what I do with the repeaters, is that I tend to run the repeaters on low power and run them into an amplifier, figuring that amplifiers are better able to handle the heat and that type of thing. And it's a lot easier to deal with if something needs to get fixed. Anyway. And then the FEMA test that Otis was mentioning earlier, if you go to the chat room, it's in the chat room. And when you go to the chat room, all the older chats show up too, so you don't miss anything when you go there. I'll mention a couple things. I was going to mention a little bit earlier. I've been doing a little experimenting here. One aspect of it is I've been working with SDR radios, so not like the ICOM 7300 or anything like that, but these dedicated radios. And it's been kind of interesting. There is a radio for like $38 on Amazon that comes with an antenna, and you can do a lot of interesting things with it. It's not a high performer. But you can still do a lot of things with it. And I just got another one from Ham Radio Outlet called SDR Play, I think it is. But I have some specific reasons for wanting them for some work that I'm doing, but the SDR Play unit that I got also has set of 12 different input bandpass filters, which are really important for an SDR. And so anyway, just been collecting some information on that, attempted to start a little discussion or a little corner on ham operator to basically how people can get up quickly working with an SDR if you've never tried it before. It's going to be probably about some of the most interesting $38 you've ever spent, but more of that will be coming. I did, as part of that, decided to put up a disc cone antenna. It's still in the experimental phase, so it's not anywhere I can't get to. The antenna that I chose was a Comet, and there were reasons I had selected it over the other ones, and I don't remember what they are, but I can tell you this. On the vector network analyzer, it looks fantastic. Basically, continuous coverage from about 100 megahertz up to well over 2.4 gigahertz. And they say, Comet says, transmit on 2 meters, 220, 440, and 1.2 gig in the ham bands. But from what the VNA is telling me, it'll transmit anywhere, low SWR across that whole spectrum. It's a disc cone antenna, and the whole disc cone technology is really kind of interesting. On this antenna and some of the others, there's a loaded whip that sticks out the top of it. Normally, a disc cone doesn't have anything sticking out of the top of it, and that's what lets it work on 6 meters. So that's relatively narrow bandwidth there, and sure enough, that works as well. So I've just done some initial tests, like talking on repeaters and stuff like that with my HT hooked up to it, and it just works fine. So, unless you really want to get the DX signals, I'm thinking the disc cone antenna might be a good option. And I can tell you that, at least with the Comet, it does perform reasonably well. One of the things I want to do is see how well it works with satellites and stuff like that, because hopefully it'll look a little bit more upwards. The disc cones basically don't have any gain. They're kind of unity gain. So that's what's going on, experimenting with SDRs in disc cone antennas, and just seeing what there is to see there in the experimentation department. However, so far, not much good stuff to decode fusion with the SDRs. Anyway, back over to you. If you have a question or comment for the net, call Net Control. This is K9EQ. Well, N0PXT Shane is reporting in the chat that he runs his node with an HT antenna. Really, Shane? anyway, so the antenna only handles 10 watts anyway. I'll give you another hint on antennas. How much power they can handle is an indication of efficiency. The reason the antennas are limited in power is because parts of it get too hot, and things that get hot are made hot by RF that isn't being transmitted. So, FYI. Anyway, last call. Sounds like it's a little quiet out there, and don't have any questions or whatever, which is fine. We'll be back next week, but last chance to get in on asking a question or have a comment or observation. This is K9EQ.
K and 4RDT.
Whiskey Echo 5, Tango Romeo Echo.
Okay, we have KN4RDT and WE5TRE, I think. And I think I heard KC9IL in there. And I guess we got a VK5JP. Okay. Let's see if we can do something with that. I guess there's a question mark on the 5 station on the call sign. So we'll check that out. But first, I want to see Warren. Did you poke in there, KC9IL from K9EQ?
And VK5JP, Chris, for the general comment.
Okay, nothing heard from KC9IL. We'll check back with him. He was on the YSF network. KN4RDT. Go ahead, Jim. It's K9EQ.
Yeah, this
sitting here soaking in all the information. Appreciate your run that sort of rookie to the game. Need all the help I can get.
Well, glad to help out. Did you have a question or anything, or just listening?
Just listening. For now, I'm just starting to learn a little bit about it, so pretty familiar with D-Star, but figured I'd branch out a little bit.
Okay, well, that's a good deal, and your $7,250 is sounding pretty good. And I think we have an honor to address here, and this is your first time on Fusion with the 7250. Well, you're sounding good. I'm in Southern California, Escondido, just north of San Diego, and we have folks spread around. And I just wanted to mention that Pete, 80MI, joined us as a net control. So good evening, Pete. We may not have gotten the call sign correct here, but WE5TRE is what we copied. If that sounds like you, go ahead. This is K9EQ.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. I just was grabbing, just if you share some more details about the STR radio that you were talking about, I'd appreciate it. I'd like to get something going. I'm finally going to be able to be home a little more, so I'd like to play a little bit with some of that. So.
WE5TRE 73
back to net.
Okay, very good, Peter. Let me just verify you're interested in the SDR information.
Yeah, affirmative. WE5TRE back to net.
Okay, very good. Looks like you're on the WQ0A repeater. So, nice repeater down there, like in St. Peter. Anyway, yeah, I don't have a lot of information right now. I will be, hamoperator.com is a website that we run, and we'll, some of the stuff will be put up there. I can basically lay out how the SDR stuff works in general terms. So this is like for those of us on a budget who want to have fun with an SDR and don't want to spend too much money. The good news is that there's a lot of really cool software out there, and you can do quite a bit with it. For example, I think if you wanted a scanner, you know, like a police band scanner or something like that, the SDR is like over the top of the scanner. There's a lot of capability there, and there are decoders for things like P25 as well as EFM. There's trunking software that'll follow trunking, things like that. But generally, the way it works is you get a piece of hardware. Antenna connects on one end, and a digital interface on the other end, and the different SDR radios have a varying amount of brains in between those two, but the two that I have no brains whatsoever. They're just an RF chip and a chip that does the some of the digital logic A to D converter and talks to the USB port. Therefore, all the software that's needed to do all the fancy stuff is in the computer, which amounts to finding software that you can download and that does the things that you want to do. That software will be more or less easy to install and get running depending upon the SDR. A good place to start, I still think, is the little $40 one. It'll let you do things, basically go and look at with a standard software that very easily connects to it, albeit in some weird ways. You can do AM, FM, wideband FM, like broadcast FM, upper sideband, lower sideband, you know, all those standard types of decoders. And you can have anywhere between like a megahertz and maybe, practically 2 or 3 megahertz bandwidth. So that means you can record the entire 80 meter band and then play it back. And then, you know, go back and see what you decoded and stuff like that. And so for specific things that you want to do, you might use different software to run. So an example of this, a $40 decoder, there is a program that will do, receive the ADS-B beacons that aircraft send out. And that's kind of a fun one to play with. I know you can go online and look at that stuff, but some of that stuff gets filtered out. So, like, if you want to see Bill Gates, where Bill Gates' airplane is, and if you happen to live in the near where he lives, as I do, you just sit there and look for his tail number. That's not going to get filtered. So anyway, that works reasonably well. And at 1.09 gigahertz, where that is, it's easy to make an antenna. It's like two and a quarter inches of wire stuck into an SMA connector. Although things can work better with that. But anyway, those are the types of things that you can do, depending on what you're interested in. Other software will let you decode AIS, which is the maritime. It's what APRS should have been for boats. And you can also get downlinks from satellites. You have the low Earth orbit satellites, primarily that do the weather stuff. If you want the geosynchronous satellites, you have to do a little work with antennas to be able to pick those guys up, but it's nothing that's too bad. So you've got that. There are decoders for DMR, the same codec that we use. I don't know of anyone that's easily usable for fusion at the moment. Hopefully that will change sometime soon. There's stuff for decoding a variety of the digital signals that you see on HF. So that's basically what you do. Probably the best way to get into it is just try it. I'll put a link up at Ham Operator for a recommended place to start, so I don't want to give the link here. But you can go there and click on that and see what's what. That's the basics of it. I will say that, like, above 1 gigahertz, it gets tricky because you do not want to be using RG58 coax on anything. And I was thinking, I mean, all the stuff works on a Raspberry Pi. The software works pretty well under Windows, too. Not maybe as well on the Mac, unfortunately. It is all, a lot of it's meant to run on the Raspberry Pi. And I always thought a great way to do this was to take the Raspberry Pi and the SDR receiver and mount it up on the pole with the antenna and not deal with feed line loss and just run the Wi-Fi back from the Raspberry Pi. I haven't done that yet. That's not on my game plan. But anyway, there was a question in the chat. And I bring it up because it's kind of related. K3FZT Steve and says, I've been having great fun with my SDR play. Okay, I've got that one and some wire. I have to think about where I can put a disc cone that my XYL won't object to. Can't help you with that. The disc cone that I put up is the Comet. And I've got the number here somewhere. I had the number here somewhere. It's gone. I don't know what I did with it. Anyway, it's a Comet, I think, only has one. That was at a ham radio outlet. I went to the local ham radio outlet for the first time ever, you know, viruses and things, and picked it up down there. And it's really nicely done. I mean, they give you 60 feet of RG58, so, you know, free hunk of RG58. yes, it is. And I'm not using it. Because I'm sensitive to loss at the higher frequencies, but I've just so far played around with it a little bit with the SDR, but mostly with my handy talkie plugged into it to see what kind of repeaters I can get. So anyway, Steve, hopefully that answers your question, and Pete, hopefully that's enough for you for the time being.
Yeah,
thanks again for the help. If I have Terry back to that.
Okay, very good. Thanks for the comment there. And let's see, Pete. We have two Petes. Okay. VK, well, that was okay because I was on Pete's net on Saturday and there are two Chris's and I transmitted at the wrong time. Pete could tell you all about that. Go ahead, Pete. VK5JP from K9EQ.
Hey, good evening, Chris. And everyone listening. First up, yes, I was popping up to thank you for joining. And yes, it was a tale of two cities, wasn't it? Chris 1, Chris 2. I didn't see your call sign because it popped up on the very left-hand side of the screen. I spotted the other three. There was actually another chappy, W3HRS, had popped in as well. But many thanks for participating with our WIA broadcast. For those who are listening, we run a broadcast that comes out of our capital city, Canberra, and we've been able to automate the broadcast, and that we run a Pi 4 with some software that was written up by one of our chappies that myself included, and we fully automate the broadcast that goes out at 0900 hours our time here on a Sunday morning. And again at 1900 hours in the evening. Thanks for those comments about the disc home too, Chris. I lost a piece of paper when you gave me the information regarding the disc home, but thankfully you mentioned it this morning. And I can't add any more in regards to what you said about the SDRs. I run two SDR players. And as you said, really funky software for them. The other bit of information is more towards yourself there, Chris. Second fiber link now from the site, from the room 69159. We had a 10G fiber optic link running from there to Sydney and then to Los Angeles. I'm not sure if I spelled it correctly when I sent you the little text. But the second one has now been activated. It's now 100G. And so we've now got two lines from that site all the way to Los Angeles and then further afield. So thought I'd just pop up and let you know about that. But many thanks for your time on Sunday. A lot of people greatly appreciated you and Chris having the technical talks. So back to net control, K90Q, okay, by JP.
Okay, very good, Pete. Well, that's nice. I think any Fusion repeater site should have two 100 gig internet connections. Anyway, what Pete is talking about is some of the folks down there, Adelaide, sort of in the middle in the south of Australia, what we would call the north, except it's upside down. They've got a net going on down there. They have something called the broadcast, which is like a nationwide broadcast, you know, from like what the AWL or, you know, one of those things might do. It is, you know, it has a focus obviously on Australia, but it also covers the international scene as well. But I have to say, I found the broadcast interesting, and the folks down under are also working with some technology to be able to automatically broadcast such things. They've got a something that'll go and grab the MP3 over the internet, and then it will go and dish it out over a transmitter. One of the things they found is that using VoiceWide works a lot better. It does if you have anything with noise in it. The 2.4 kilobit encoder really doesn't have enough bits left over to handle noise and things. But the VoiceWide, which is a 4.8 kilobit, does. So that's what they've been broadcasting the net with. The info, the timing on that is available at hamoperator.com if you go to the calendar page. Internet is on Saturday, and it shows up as the Southern Australia Net. And Pete, I didn't know if that was the name of it or not. You guys need you a web page that I can link to. Anyway, the times on the calendar, due to a limitation in the software, are all central U.S., so you can plus or minus from there. They're in one of these odd time zones. It's off by half an hour in southern Australia. Australia. Anyway, there's a clock at the top of the calendar on hamoperator.com, and you'll see ACST and wonder what that is. That's Australia Central Standard Time, and it's standard time for them because it's winter, or they're coming out of their winter. Always get that backwards. And then there's another net, so that net is 9 a.m. on Sunday for them. They have another one at 6 p.m., which is like old dark 30 for us, 4:30 a.m. Central Time. But that's the Southern Australia net. It's in room number, I've got that wrong. I've got 59159, but it's 69159, isn't it, Pete?
Yeah, that's correct. I did spot the error the other night coming up when it was transmitting. I've got to find out a bit about it, yeah, but it did pop up as 59159, but it actually is 69159, and it does go out on 69159, Chris. The second one is at 1900 hours, or 7 p.m. Sunday evening. It does still put it in the wee hours of the morning. Back to you there, Chris.
There are a couple of time zones it works out well for, but they're just not time zones I live in. Okay, I'll fix that. I just noticed that here when I popped that up. Maybe the other net, I've got the right number in there. This problem with the keyboard, I press the keys, but the wrong ones get sent to the computer. Okay, we'll take care of that. So they do welcome international check-ins. It would be kind of nice to sort of surprise the chappies down there and have a few people check in from elsewhere. And so, like I say, that would be 4:30 p.m. on Saturday Central Time. And no, I'm sorry, 6:30 Central would be 4:30 Pacific for the Australia net. So I did want to highlight that net and give some recognition to the folks down under. They're really doing quite a bit with Fusion in that South Australia area. And it looks like a nice place to visit, too. I just want to check, KC9IL, did you have traffic?
Hi there, Chris. Yes, I did. I had a question.
Okay, I did call you before you didn't come back, but go ahead with the question.
Okay, well, we're trying to figure out how to have a digital user on the repeater be able to temporarily disable digital. So the repeater disconnects from a room. In the case of a Skywarn emergency or something like that. We know that a user could go into the DX mode and hit the pound key, which will immediately disconnect, but the repeater is set to reconnect to its home room after 30 seconds, so that doesn't help. So we were wondering if anybody has found a way for a user on the air to be able to at least temporarily disable digital so that the repeater only works in analog, unconnected mode, and then when the emergency event is over, then someone can reconnect it. So, wondering if any of the gurus out there have some ideas for us. Back to net.
Okay. Well, an outstanding question. One thing I can think of you could do is go to You could go to a room that isn't being used. You know, you could set up a, like there's a lot of rooms with nobody in them. But if you wanted to make sure, you could set up a private room and, you know, and you would just go to that room, and then that would make sure that that repeater didn't do any yakking, or very likely wouldn't do any yakking versus the 30-second return to room. So that's the one thing I can think of without, you know, doing anything fancy. Let's first check with everybody else to see if anybody else has an idea. Any way to essentially turn wire sex off over the radio so that, you know, wire sex traffic doesn't interfere with important stuff going on the repeater. Anybody have any ideas?
KN4RSJ.
Yeah, KN4RFJ. Sean, go ahead.
Okay, well, this is KN4RFJ, Sean, here in Kentucky. I have a couple of ideas. One, although this is, I have found to not quite be reliable, is the dialing 55555. It's supposed to be a software command for the WiresX server software to temporarily disable return to home function. I know it works in analog, but so far in Fusion Digital, I've not had it work reliably. And there is another option. It's not RF. It is via HTML. But you can build a URL with a password in it that you can log into from anything that can get an internet connection, so that can even be a cell phone. So you can have this URL bookmarked on your cell phone, and you can go to that bookmark, which has that URL with the embedded password. And if the remote control server script is enabled on WiresX software, then it will send out an HTML sort of web page where you can view the status and the settings of the node. And inside of that web page, on the home screen, there is a transmit lockout button. So you can go to that URL, and you can tap that transmit lockout button, and that will remotely over HTML turn on the transmit inhibitor and the WiresX software, which disconnects from any rooms and disables the radio from transmitting. So WiresX will be 100% locked out at that point. And you can re-enable it just by going to that web page and again tapping that button. And that will re-enable the WiresX software, and then after 30 seconds it will connect to its home room from idle. But that's the best option that I know of. Now, of course, that does mean that whoever has that access will have the username and password to the WiresX software remote function. So there is that, but that's the best option I can think of. KN4RFJ, back to net.
Ah, very good, Sean. Some good suggestions there. While you were talking, I did a little R&D, and in other words, the manual, and the DTMF 55, you know, that command. It's described as to stop the restart to return to room function, but then there's an asterisk. And the asterisk says this command is valid only during analog FM operation. So there you go. I guess it's a feature. Yeah, that would be nice to have. But I suppose you might have people going around turning things off and anything. What Sean is talking about is there is with the web page thing, is there is the ability to set up on the WiresX software a they call it a Wires web server, and you can set that up. You have a password. None of it's very secure because all of the communications are in the clear. And you can go in and do some very basic control functions of the Wires, you know, the WiresX server. However, I'll add to what Sean said. If you go and do a little binary detective work, you will discover that basically everything you do on that web page that the server provides is just a URL. You know, it's basically a URL to whatever the IP address and some stuff to send the password and then some stuff to indicate what page and what command. One thing that strikes me is that a facility could be set up to do that, but maybe not give them the web page that goes right to the WiresX node, but give them something else, like put it up on the club web page, or, you know, you could always do something, depending on how much you wanted to get into it, where you could decode. I mean, you could do this on the WiresX computer. You could have a like a touchtone decoder. You can get the analog signal coming out of the repeater, and just have a touchtone decoder. And if you see a certain touchtone, that triggers the computer to send this URL to the server, which is in the same machine or elsewhere. So those are the thoughts that come up. It would be nice, I agree, it would be nice if there's some way to have a little bit more sophistication here and handling things like that without being in front of a computer. Warren, what do you think about those answers?
Well, I'd like to experiment with the fives, and if Sean or Chris could tell me, is that four fives or five fives? But it's got to be something that can be done quickly, you know, in between transmissions. So, you know, they could hit the DX button, get the prompt, and then hit the star key and do a quick disconnect. That then buys them a half a minute to switch to FM, send the fives, and shut it down. So that might work. So we'll give that one a try first and see if, you know, if that does the trick for us. But is it four fives or five fives? Go ahead, Chris.
Well, one of the things with the WiresX software is the manual is the help button. So if you go to the settings page, call settings, there's a thing down at the end of the page, which is DTMF pound, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think it's 5 fives, maybe. It doesn't matter, it won't work. But you can go ahead and hit the help button and it explains it, and then I had to follow another hypertext link that was in the help to actually describe what the command does, and it says it will not work if the WiresX room is in digital mode. So if, and I assume yours is in digital mode, not analog, so it will not work. And Sean kind of implied that that was the case when he was talking. But it actually says in the help manual that that doesn't work. I mean, probably the best thing to do quickly is just move it to an empty room. And however long your timeout timer set for it, at least stay there for that long, and anybody could do that. You just have to sandwich in between the people that are talking. Go ahead, Warren.
And that is one of the options that we've provided. We have a room that's empty, and when I can anticipate one of these events, that's exactly what I do. I just switch the repeater over to that empty room, and if we need to with you again, we can do that. But thank you for the thought, and we'll think about some of the things that you mentioned, and thank you there to Sean as well. But we'll figure something out. Thanks again. Everybody have a great evening, and we'll send it back to you. We had some storms rip through here earlier this evening, so the topic is top of mind right now. Back to you, Chris. K9EQ, KC9IL.
Okay, before you run off, Warren, Otis is bringing something up here. Otis, why don't you go ahead and take it and relay to Warren what you're telling us here on the on the net control operator site.
All right, Chris, we can do that. I don't know what type of repeater you have, Warren, but on the DR2X here, I have set up a DPID I've got three radios assigned as control radios. But with the remote control, and when I say that, I've got the another additional antenna on a separate frequency to control the repeater itself. So if it does run away, or it actually gets to the point where I cannot get in there, I can send the remote control on the auxiliary frequency with the radio with the assigned DPID and send 222 on C4FM, and that locks the repeater down. 333 will put it back to C4FM mode only. And as Chris has mentioned, some of it actually will, you know, the command 222 will work, I do believe, on both. I think it's star 222 on the analog side, but that deactivates the local repeater operation completely, so it's you basically repeater locked up. So I didn't know if you had a DR2X or not, but that is something that it's in the contingency plan here in Stamping Ground. W4IOD back to net control. Hopefully that gives Warren a little bit more options, Chris.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Otis. It's been a while since I played with the DR2 like that. And I imagine you can change those codes to whatever you want from the defaults. Warren, any comments on that?
Well, you know, I have here, and I don't know if this is the repeater or the controller, but there's some commands here. 111 star to disable digital, 222 star to enable digital, 189 star to reset it. So I didn't know about the 333, but perhaps those codes still work. And we show doing that, you know, turning off the PL when you do it. So, you know, maybe those are an option. Chris?
Yeah, go ahead, Otis.
Yeah, you know, those codes don't ring a bell with me, Warren. The ones that I'm talking about using are proprietary to the onboard controller inside the DR2X. So my question to you is, do you have an external controller connected to the repeater?
We do. We've got an SCOM controller on it.
So your mileage may vary as far as what I'm telling you, so I didn't want to confuse you. Those are proprietary to the DR2X as far as the onboard controller only. So I guess you would actually have to get with the vendor and see if that is an option. I know on the machine that I'm talking on presently, I have the ability to turn the repeater on and off. It is a DR2X with an external controller. It's an ARCOM. But it works really well. I can turn the analog off, I can turn the C4FM off, or I can turn the whole machine off. So your mileage may vary as far as the remote access codes, but just wanted to get that clear. If you're using an external controller, the code that I give you is probably not going to work, so check with whoever set up the board or the vendor. Thank you, Chris. I'll turn it back to you. Hopefully that helps warn out. W4IOD back to net control.
Okay, well, that's what we're here for, to help figure out problems. Warren seems to have them every once in a while. Anyway, Warren, is it a DR2 repeater that you're running?
Yes, it's a DR2.
Okay, well, it might be worth digging through the DR2 manual and some of the remote control, although those will only work for radios that have registered the DPID to be able to do that. So not just anyone can do that. You know, like change the power output is maybe not something you want everybody to do. Those are, more or less meant for control operators versus the general public. But I didn't realize you had an external controller. So that external controller can decode touchstones, and my same idea would apply, is that you just need to feed the some kind of signal from your controller back into the computer and have a little script in the computer that maybe sends that URL to the WiresX software to tell it to shut up. But maybe a couple of things to check out there. I'd check out those. Well, if you want anybody to be able to do it, then you got another problem. That might be the advantage of a club website or something that people have to log on to and to disable it. The other advantage with the website approach, and a lot of this can be done with just like on the iPhone, you can create an icon on the screen, and you just tap the icon and out goes a message. It doesn't matter if people are talking when you go in through the back door or on the internet. So that might be a plus in the favor of that, because if you have people like me talking, it might just go on forever. Thanks for the question, Warren, and hopefully we'll get some resolve on that. I feel like I should ask if anybody else has any questions, because it took so long. Anybody else out there? Otherwise, we're shutting down the net.
KE8RBQ.
KE8RBQ. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Kilo 8, Romeo Bravo, Quebec. I have a, I'm new to the ham, and I have a handheld. This is FT3D8, and I can't get the scope set to turn on so I can get the 3D. A little advice, please. Over.
Okay, as things go, we caught everything except the specific question that you had. I thought I heard something to deal with the scope mode. I could be wrong. Just very briefly, what is the subject of the question? Let's see. Andrew's on the WW8GM repeater, which is a fantastic machine in Detroit, really good coverage. And if you're in Detroit, it's a repeater you want to check out. They've got a great bunch of fusion operators over there in Michigan. Andrew, are you still with us? And if so, very briefly, what was the question about?
Tone for these to operate on this radio.
Yeah, you're breaking up. I copied something around tone on the radio. Maybe you could, maybe you could find a little better spot there or something, or if you can raise the power. Okay, I didn't hear anything from Andrew there. Well, let's try again next week. We heard tone that time. We do have a number of FT3 experts here, and I suspect somebody over there on the WWHAM repeater might know something about it as well. So very good. Had a pretty good net. Thanks to everybody for checking in. This, like we said, this net meets every Monday night at 7:30 Central, and we cover all things fusion. And for more information, you can also go to hamoperator.com. Please allow a minute for people to disconnect from the room. If there's traffic, it makes it really hard to do, before you resume use of the room. 7-3-all, this is K9EQ, and I'll be clear.
K9EQ, okay.
Hi there, sir, VK5JP from K9EQ. I was just in the process of changing it 5 to a 6. And let me see if I need to change it anywhere else. We'll track down all the issues. Anyway, go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, Roger, Chris, yeah, that threw me the other night too. I was looking up there and I saw in the window, I saw 159, and I thought, hang on a moment, we are definitely sitting on 69159. But it was being displayed as 59. And I thought, is that a mistake in the system? Back to you.
Well, unfortunately, it was wrong in two places. So when it's wrong in two places, that kind of tells you what the story was there. And it should now be correct in two places. Basically, the two nets have to be entered as different events, or at least I did that with you guys. Hopefully everything will be okay now.
Hey, Roger. Thanks. I thought I'd just pop up say thanks. It was quite enjoyable. A lot of people commented on the comments and it's there afterwards. It's being a lovely long session in the morning. Usually we just sort of went through, you know, just a general comment here and there, and that's it. But it was really great having you guys popping in, and I'm sure it's going to hold more interest as time goes on. Especially the fact we got